everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 123 for Thursday, January 24th, 2013. I'm an excited Phil. This is Phil in an excited state. Can you tell?
Your pupils are all dilated.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. I behave myself. No, so welcome to another Android Central Podcast. It's Thursday night. We are live. We got a chat room down at the bottom of the screen, which if you're watching this on YouTube later, you can't see it, but that's cool. And with us from the site, we have Jerry Hildenbrand.
Howdy, everyone.
Jerry, you kind of look a little Amish tonight.
My hair is wet. I just stepped out of the shower, and I just wore a hat because I have wet hair.
Plowing the fields before you came in for the podcast, or you look
farmer-ish. I was building barns.
And down there on the bottom, we have Alex Dobie in England.
And a good evening to everyone.
I'm going to hell for all this, aren't I?
That's all right. I'll save you a seat.
No more so.
No more than you were before.
So welcome back to Thursday. I'm actually kind of got myself excited for this podcast, as I said at the outset, because there's been some interesting stuff going on this week. How are you guys? I haven't seen you in a week. I mean, I haven't talked to you in like 10 minutes, but I haven't seen you in a week. Yeah, that bad? All right, great.
Yeah, same.
We're all pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Chat room, how are you guys? Chat room's always a little more talkative than Jerry and Alex, I think. Yeah, they're doing okay. Yeah. Awesome. I'm sick. Great. Cool. Rock on. Whoa, my God. There they go. All right, so the chat room's ready to go, so let's do this, I guess. What do you guys want to start with? You want to start with, we've had a couple big leaks this week, right? We've had some big leakage from HTC and some big leakage from Samsung. What do you want to start with?
I am looking at the script, and I think we should probably start with the Samsung Galaxy Note 8.0.
Well, we don't have to. I'm giving you the option.
Let's start with the Samsung Galaxy Note 8.0.
Okay, let's start with that.
So it's we had rumors for a while based on benchmarks and certification stuff and other various product numbers that get rolled around about a updated new form factor Samsung Galaxy Note tablet. And this week, it's all come out that basically this is an 8-inch Galaxy Note tablet. It's essentially powered by the same internals as the Galaxy Note 2. It's an 8-inch tablet, kind of in the same vein as the iPad Mini. And based on images that came out today, it looks like it is kind of a curved design, and actually has the standard Samsung 3-button setup rather than on-screen buttons, which is kind of interesting.
That tells me it's not a tablet, and it's the Note 3.
Well, it's a big-ass earpiece, right? I mean,
every 7-inch Samsung tablet has had an earpiece. That's nothing new.
But you don't put that home button and physical buttons that don't move on the bottom of a device that's going to be used half the time in landscape. At least I hope you don't.
Well, I think it's more portrait oriented because it's a Note device. You've got the S Pen, docked in the bottom right corner. I think it's definitely, I mean, the Note series has always been about convergence devices. I think it's definitely a tablet. It's just it's branding wise, they're pushing it more towards the phone side of things. It does look like a supersized Galaxy S3. So I'm sure it'll, like every other 7-inch Samsung tablet, it'll have a dialer on there. Obviously, it has an earpiece. You'll be able to make calls on it if you really want to. But I think, first and foremost, it's a tablet. It's a tablet that Samsung wants you to use in portrait orientation.
Okay, so let's start with a couple things there. One is the physicality of the thing, right? It looks like an 8-inch phone. Assuming this is all real, by the way. I mean, none of it's official.
Right.
We don't know. No.
If you build this thing like a giant ass phone, is that good? Is that a good idea? Does it need to, like, and that's not saying I don't like the GS3, because I was just saying last week, I kind of miss it, actually. Especially when, by the way, it has a Lloyd case on the back of it, like this. How awesome is that? Stick around, folks. I might have a couple to give away. But go back to the original tablets, right? Like the original Galaxy Tab, the 7-inch thing that was just awful, right? I mean, that was it was a big phone UI on a tablet body. So are we kind of going backwards now? Or are we getting a more tablet-y UI on a phone body that's just enlarged? Engorged,
well, if you look at where we've gone over the past few months with the new Nexus tablets, the Android UI has turned more back to a phone UI on tablets, mm-hmm. right? You've got it, instead of having the bar down the bottom where you've got your clock and all the notifications, it's gone back to having virtual buttons down below. You've got your notifications up top, and having these a bit more standardized across the phone and tablet range. So obviously things are going to look on 4.2, things are going to look a lot more, like a phone than a tablet. I don't necessarily think it's a terrible idea having physical buttons on a tablet like this. If you look at the way the Nexus 7 works in landscape mode, you lose so much of the screen because of the on-screen controls that maybe it isn't such a terrible idea to just have something that is in a fixed position all the time. I mean, the iPad's done it, right, since the very first iPad. The button's been the same place.
Yeah, but the iPad's a square.
That's true. I mean, I guess the Note 8.0 isn't necessarily, it's not 16.9, it's 16.10, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
I would agree with you more if this was a 10-inch tablet. I think using, if say the Galaxy Tab 3 comes out and it's the same kind of button configuration, I think that would be a bit weird. On something this size, I think it's not necessarily a bad idea to have buttons down below. What I do think is a bit worrying, though, is the fact it looks like we have a menu button, and that's something that's a hangover from the old phone days, and something that makes me think maybe that this Note 8.0 is going to be using a lot of the Samsung phone software and not necessarily stuff that's designed for a larger screen. So yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, you know what, I'm sorry, go ahead, Phil.
No, go ahead.
Say at this point I almost wish Samsung would just say, hey, it's an 8-inch device. We've designed it to work this way because it's also a phone. Stick your damn SIM card in and use it. It'll give people whatever they want. If you don't want to use it as a phone, don't put your SIM card in it. But if you do, it's set up for you. Stop beating around the bush and say, here's an 8-inch phone. Have fun.
Samsung's always kind of done that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they haven't marketed it as a phone, but with the original Galaxy Tab, the Galaxy Tab 7 Plus, the Galaxy Tab 2 7-inch, you've always had a dialer app, you've always had an earpiece, and you've always, at a push, being able to use a standard SIM in there and just use it as a phone. So, yeah, maybe that's something. I don't know if that's something they'll do on the branding side, or how how they're going to handle that. But I don't think it's such a big deal that it's going to be sort of half phone, half tablet, because the Note line has always been about that.
I think all of us here are fans of the 7-inch size, right? Like, we all enjoy the Nexus 7. So why haven't we all gone out and bought Tab 10 or Tab 7s? Or is it just the price? Do you think that's what might keep us from this? Do you think it would be the form factor or the fact that it's not a Nexus whatever?
I'm going to tell you right up front, with the S Pen in this 7-inch range, I know it's 8 inches, it's not really 7.
Same difference, though,
Yeah, with the S Pen in it, I could go for this.
I really
like S Pen integration, but I don't like a 6-inch phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like a 10-inch tablet. I mean, a 7-inch tablet with that really good stylus integration, S Pen, whatever you want to name it, and you've got me interested.
Yeah, and let's remember that this is, it's powered by the Exynos 4 Quad, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good deal faster than the Tegra 3 that we've been used to in the Nexus 7. Yep. So we're probably looking at improved performance over the 7-inch tablet that most of us are used to. So that's going to be something to consider as well, I think.
I'm kind of excited for this one a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think I'm almost excited because it looks like a Note, and because it doesn't just look like a 7 or 8-inch square, which is what every other Android tablet in the world looks like. It's, it's curved. It looks like a Galaxy S3 or a Galaxy Note. The S Pen's in there, and you've got the, you've got these buttons down below, and it's just something a little bit different, which is something we don't normally see from Android tablets. Normally it's very sort of derivative, and it's, even a lot of manufacturers don't bother to stray too far from the stock UI.
Well, one thing that really has me interested as well is if it's going to ship with 4.2.1 or any variant around there, I wonder how Samsung is going to handle the SD card slot. Because internally, that's something that we've known ever since the multi-user point, your multi-user came into the tablets, that the way SD cards are set up now has got to completely change. And I've just been curious. Samsung's going to put one in there. People want it that bad.
Why does the SD card setup have to change in 4.2? Let's just
Because when you have a device that can use multiple logins, it changes the mount point depending on whether you've used it or not. And if you look on your Nexus 7, you'll see internal, you know, your internal storage, but it's called like SD0 or SD.ext. You've got both shortcuts there. It's the way Google uses it to mount the storage for different people. And that's definitely not going to work with an SD card. So I've just been wondering how they're going to tackle it. And pretty sure Samsung's not going to get rid of it.
I think the obvious thing for them to do would be just to have, I mean, it's an SD card. If you have access to the device, you have access to the card anyway. So the obvious thing for them to do would just be to have it as this big lump of storage that everyone has access to. And just have the internal storage as the same way it is on a Nexus tablet.
You have to be touchy to make sure it works with all the apps, though, the way you mount it. Mm. It's a real nerd thing, and it's I'm sure they've got a way to fix it, and real nerds are curious how they're going to do it. That's I just can't help it. That's the way I was born.
So we got that. Fully expecting it in Barcelona at Mobile World Congress because J.K. Chin from Samsung said so. Apparently, so look for that. I mean, nothing official, nothing even scheduled yet for Samsung in Spain. So I would expect them to do something. They always do.
Yeah.
I
was going to recap some of the other Samsung rumors. Apparently, more Galaxy Tab 3 range, 7-inch, 10-inch, supposedly, has been rumored this week, along with some mystery device that we have a product number for, but nothing else. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
I'm not expecting Galaxy S4 stuff yet.
No, absolutely not.
Folks are clamoring, and there are March dates, there are April dates. Who knows? I mean, any of that's probably right. I'm betting, later rather than sooner, I think.
If you are a hardware fan, you don't want a Galaxy S4 yet. Let's wait till the summer.
What do you mean?
You want them to get the Exynos Octa, defined and be ready to put into phones and put that into your new phone.
You reckon that's not going to be ready until the summer?
Ready to actually make and sell in mass? Yeah, summer's probably even pushing it.
I tell you, more important than that, I want to see new software. I want to see a new UI. I'm so tired of TouchWiz. It's just, it looks flat and two-dimensional compared to everything. I mean, compared to everything that's been out for the past, 2 years, probably.
I think they know that, and that there were reports months and months and months ago that Samsung was looking at software design as one of the big things for its next line of phones.
I think the
stuff we see in Barcelona is going to be probably TouchWiz. It's going to be the nature UX again, or whatever whatever Samsung calls it. The next round of stuff is probably going to start with the S4, and it wouldn't surprise me if we had something that was different and hopefully considerably better designed than what we've had from Samsung in the past.
And I tell you, I mean, when I look at it, it's not just like the whole thing is flat and kills me, because there's a lot of stuff in there I like. The lock screen was beautiful, I thought. Very well done. The way the home screens work, not bad, but just there was like a disconnect between that really good stuff. And then you get into the menus and just the way things work, and that looked outdated and kind of legacy. So yeah, that would almost make sense. I mean, because you're not going to totally restart from scratch every year, right? Nobody does that. If anyone's done it, it's maybe been Motorola with the biggest changes year.
And we'll get to this in a bit, but I guess HTC's kind of doing that this year.
Let's lead into that. So we started seeing leaks, two ends of leaks, right? One is we're expecting new hardware. I mean, that's kind of a given, right? There's this rumored M7, which is just a code name. You know, assuming it's even the real code name, because HTC and other manufacturers have code names for code names, by the way. That's not unheard of. So one of them's hardware and the other end is the software, right? We're all kind of expecting another decent sized change to Sense. And Sense changed fairly significantly a year ago. I mean, maybe not grossly. I don't know. What do you guys think? I was thinking about that this week. Was Sense 4 that big a leap from Sense 3, or was it really just more of an iteration?
I think it was a big change, but I think it's looking like Sense 5 is going to be an even bigger change. What you saw in Sense 4 was more of a polishing up of some of the ideas they had in Sense 3. We saw HTC getting rid of some of the clunkiest stuff, all this extraneous animation and, you know, the bright colors and, you know, a lot of the clunkiness that had accumulated around Sense since back in the early days in phones like the Hero. I think it was kind of a polishing up of Sense and Sense 4. Sense 5, if that is the name, looks like they're really kind of starting from scratch again and looking at how they want to design smartphone software in 2013 from the ground up.
And again, it's not that they can't do this stuff, because they, you know, I've met some of the designers. They've got the chops for this stuff. It's almost like, and I'm speaking out of school here because I don't know how to program anything, but it's almost like the software development side hasn't quite been able to keep up with the design side. And I'm willing to bet that's always true. I'm sure there's a big push and pull between the engineers and you know, the people in the designers, and it's got to be this weird symbiotic relationship. I get that. And if you remember, if you go back, one of the funnier stories from the past, you know, 6 months of releases has been the move from you know, the 1X design to the 8X design, where the battery's in the middle and then you have, you know, the display and then the board's on the back, and in a much, you know, thinner design. And this is what we're expecting. Something more like this, you know, coming out next month. That was come up with. That wasn't a design feature. That was an engineer who said, or wait, no, I'm sorry, reverse that. It was a designer who said, well, crap, now I'm forgetting. Yeah. Which one was it? Damn it. Anyway, somebody was surprised. Oh, hell, which was it? I think it was the design thing who said, why don't you just try that? And then engineering's like, oh, who? Hey,
maybe it was a design engineer.
It was a much better story like 5 minutes ago, by the way.
I think you're talking about having the battery sandwiched in the middle and having the back case kind of rate, you know, kind of thin at the edge and fat in the middle, so that you have more space to have a bigger battery in the middle, and then you have your PCB at the back. I think is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we have in the Droid DNA. It's what you have in the 8X. Ooh. So I mean, so when these M7 leaks came out and we finally started seeing picture or two of this supposed device, and it looks like the DNA. Well, yeah, we've been saying that for I don't know how long. I mean, it looks like the 8X. I've got the 8X here. It feels great. I love carrying this thing around in my pocket because it just feels so much thinner than anything else I have. And then I pick it
up.
The
crazy thing is, it isn't thinner than most phones. It's actually kind of a thick device, and that goes to the DNA as well.
Right, but just the way it's designed, it feels
thin. Yeah, but it's designed sort of deceptively in that it's a regular sized phone that feels really thin because of the way it's designed, and that's pretty cool, I think.
Right. So I'm stoked to get some, and I've said this for a while, right? I'm really stoked to get some new HTC hardware with this design. The DNA is still just a little too big for me.
And then will you put that damn Windows phone away?
This is like a nice weekend phone for me because it doesn't like feed me information as quickly as I normally want it or need it.
Imagine that.
I know. So it's like, well, if I, you know, if I want to
feed you any information at all in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, that's true. Ooh, I got to think about that, actually. Yeah, no, I mean, it's got a nice camera, so if I need to take a picture, I can take a picture. I just can't, you know, Instagram it or figure out how to do anything with it. Or, yeah, you know, it feels good.
It's okay, Phil. I just need to give you a hard time because I just need to.
Hey, you know what I was thinking about today? I'm going to have to get a BB10 phone.
So am I.
Are you? You going to do it?
Yep. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a BB7 phone when everybody's trying to sell them on Craigslist.
Get one cheap. Man, I tell you, I still love the feel of the 9900, that keyboard. And just, you know, the screen was ridiculously small and the OS sucked. But that keyboard for that form factor was really good. No, I mean, I'm going to have to get one to play with it so we can understand it. And what I've seen of BB10 so far looks interesting.
I'm not convinced BlackBerry can do consumer as well as Samsung and Apple have done. But I know they can do what they've always done. And, you know, I can pick up a nice one cheap. You know, last year's model, I will.
So when you guys see me, like, experimenting with BlackBerry phones, nobody freak out. I'm not jumping ship. I just want to try them because I'm going to be able to talk semi-intelligently about
it. Just in, Phil jumped ship to RIM.
Again. No, all right, so back to the HTC stuff. So you've got the M7 phone, whatever that is. I still think it's funny that everybody's focusing on this M7. I mean, the assumption has been it's the flagship or whatever, but I can't think of a time since I've been doing this job that HTC has only come out with one phone at MWC.
Right.
That said, they keep talking about doing fewer phones, but I have to believe they're going to do more than one, right?
You know, well, it would make sense.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Look,
we've said before, and Jerry said it, you know, in the past couple of weeks, when your low-end phones are as good as what HTC makes with the SV and the 1VX, Jerry did the SV, I did the 1VX. I mean, these are nice low-end phones, guys.
No doubt.
I would not feel bad, you know, carrying it around. What was the one Andrew did? Andrew just did one too, didn't he?
The 1X Plus.
X Plus. Which, no, there was another one. Oh, he did the Pantech one. That's
what the Pantech thing.
We're getting some really interesting low-end phones now. And I was, you know, actually, I think Andrew probably was harsher on the Pantech phone than a lot of other reviews I read. It's fun being able to read reviews again, but I'm not writing them all. But I think everybody who reviewed the Pantech one looked at it and it's like, you know what? This thing's actually pretty good. It's kind of cool. So, but when you make low-end phones like HTC does and they're that good, I mean, that's a high low bar to reach for, you know.
But you know what? Low end equals low price. Everybody better look out for Huawei.
Yeah.
Huawei is going to swoop into the US market, sell phones that have the price tag of the Nexus 4, but you can get them anywhere anytime you want, and they're going to kick ass and they're going to get big.
Do you want to talk about the UI? I mean, we haven't seen much of the UI of Sense 5. I mean, I don't know what to say until we use it, really.
The most interesting thing we've seen is the way the home screen's arranged now. It looks like, this is just from leaked screenshots here and there, but it looks like they're doing away with the flip clock. The old, classic HTC flip clock's been around from years and years and years. It looks like that's gone. You've still got a weather clock. You've got icons for weather conditions. You've got the time. The rest of the UI, and the home screen, it looks like is split between various kinds of widget panes, if you like. So you got one for social media, one for, news, another, I think, is for tutorials or whatever else. And you can imagine there'll be a few panes you can switch around. You'll be able to change what's, you know, what is where and all the rest of this stuff.
Yeah. So it looks like somebody's complaining that Microsoft, you know, wasn't going to like this because it looks like live tiles, and it really doesn't. I mean, those look like placeholders. Uh-huh. Not unlike what Google Play has now. Like I think it's my Nexus 7 has all these placeholders for the Google Play apps. Turn on. See if they're still there. Nope. I filled them up. But like, if it has trouble connecting to your account, like it does some weird stuff.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, so that sort of thing. So we don't really know what those look like. I tell you what, the bigger thing, and this is where, this is where I'm really worried. Really, really worried, and thinking maybe this was like a canary trap leak or something, but the home button being moved all the way to the right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a bit weird. And I'm actually not convinced the photos that came out this week, showing the actual device.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% convinced that that's going to be the final design. I mean, obviously, we're a week out from release. Whatever is out there is not going to be final hardware because that's just the way HTC rolls. But if you look at the way the bezels are and the design and the fact that there's no regulator information or anything in there, I think what we see is going to probably roughly resemble the leaks that we've had, but it's going to look a bit different. The stuff that's leaked in the past week or so looks a little bit weird. So I think we're probably a little bit of a distance out yet from final hardware.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to remember the meetings I had with them last spring where they showed us the prototyping process. I mean, there are so many devices that can go into that that could potentially leak. And that's why I just have no idea. I really hope the home button's not all the way on that side, though. Just because, I mean, I've got small hands. That's tough for me to reach. Everybody else has their home button in the middle. And to deviate from that, I think, is just not good design at this point.
Frankly, it's stupid. Let's be honest. That's, you know, your home button long press for Google Now or search or whatever.
Right.
You don't take that and move it off to the side.
So that's why I'm really just kind of, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Alex hit it on the head. Just because we saw a picture of a device that is going to be maybe the new HTC phone, it doesn't mean it's going to be what they show us next month or even what the final product is going to look like. It just happens to be the one that guy had in his hand the day that's picture was taken. One of many.
Yeah.
That's why we go to these things. That's why we, you know, take the meetings and go to the events so we can actually see this stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll see. Either that or they made the multitasking button look like a home button.
Well, that could be too.
That would maybe
that would
make
be
more
just
sense,
as wise, huh?
I mean, the another thing to remember is that it looks like most of the stuff that's leaked has come from probably one person.
Yeah.
So if we had what looked like a mock-up render appear based on a device that someone had, all the various software stuff that's leaked looks like has come from probably Japan or somewhere around there. So I think it's probably too early to make these sweeping assumptions based on one testing unit that's probably out. And I'd imagine it would be carrier testing that this is leaked through, because that's generally what happens with these phones.
And again, if I were going to try to catch a leaker, I would do a big change like that and wait for the pictures to pop up. And then, you know, hand them a pink slip. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm not jumping in bed with that design by any stretch of the imagination. So we'll find out in a few weeks. I cannot wait, man. We're almost a month away, actually. What's today? The 24th? So yeah,
exactly a month away. Yeah.
You know, we go to Spain on what, the 23rd. So looking forward to that. What else? You guys want to talk Nexus stuff? I mean, I put stuff in the script, but there's not that much going on. Alex did a really good post looking back at his experience with the Nexus 4 after 2 months. And again, I want to reiterate, this thing's only been available for a little more than 2 months now.
Yep.
I mean, that does not in any way, shape, or form excuse the retail problems that Google has had getting this out.
Well,
but
if you want to compare it to the last Nexus, there's... How many people have one now is that many more people that could use one on a GSM network in the U.S. at this time last year?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's apples and oranges, because this time last year there was the whole Verizon exclusivity thing.
Mm-hmm. We had to wait till what, like May or June?
It was something insane. Not that long, I don't think, but it was bad.
I mean, you could import it quite easily, but yeah, that was expensive to do.
Well, yeah, it was importing a more expensive phone. This one's, you know, $300.
Yep.
So, you know, they still need to fix something. And at some point, it needs to be available. T-Mobile had it online for like 24 hours. It's gone today again already. A bunch of people on Twitter today were saying they can still get it locally in stores. So if you're looking for one right now, that might be your best bet. But,
well, you know, when I read that you said it was already sold out online when I got up this morning, it got me thinking. If you think back, I know, Phil, I know for a fact you have been around since the Nexus 1 launch. You've been an Android staunch supporter. The only Nexus phone that didn't have a huge fuster cluck of a launch is the Nexus S, and that's because Best Buy and Carphone Warehouse did it.
Yep.
Every other Nexus device, including the Nexus 7, has been a huge pain in the butt at launch time. Google doesn't do retail very well, period. When the next one comes out, if Google is taking care of the retail, don't expect to have a good experience with it, because they don't do it very well. Let's hope they get better.
Yeah.
I think when you're dealing with a company like Google, though, you should, you know, you're dealing with an organization that's that big. There's a certain expectation there when you know, you should expect them to be able to get retail right. And it's odd that they haven't been able to do that.
Somebody in chat just said, let Amazon do the retail. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, except for that whole.
Well, not maybe not necessarily Amazon, but let somebody partner with you, Google.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
hey, if you need somebody with retail experience, I'm just saying we got a store.
There you go.
Fulfillment. You know, I did ask. I did. Was it when the Google Wallet stuff was going down, like nobody could pay for anything? I did ask our store guys. I'm like, do you guys think if we had that sort of crush, could we survive it? And they're like, we've never. They hedged. We've never had that sort of problem. It's a good problem to have.
I could see every single person employed by Mobile Nations. We'd all be down in Florida taking meth, right? Trying to get everything done, dancing around like crazy.
It would be bad. So, I mean, Nexus 7 you can still get. I think one of the versions might have just gone out of stock this week. I don't know. Nexus 10 you can get, right? I believe. So, in fact,
sometimes in some places, yeah.
Nexus 10 is still pretty sporadic, I think.
Is it? Okay. But Larry Page did say in the earnings call this week that they're working on it. It's a priority. I mean, those things are not quick fixes necessarily, right? Yep. It takes a little time.
LG themselves said last week that when they identify that they need to make more of a particular product, that's a 6-7 week wait for them to be able to fix that, because it takes time to make these things.
Mm-hmm. It's funny picturing that, you know, after having seen the production lines, like I can, you know, it takes people to do it. The machines on there were pretty interesting. The way it's done, and just, I mean, these things take time. It's amazing. If you ever get a chance to see something like that, I highly recommend it. Speaking of Google, by the way, also on the earnings call, they did talk a little bit about Motorola, and, you know, I think they appreciate that people are expecting them to do something with Motorola, and they keep saying, look, you know, we didn't buy Motorola to not make money with it. But, you know, there's a 12 to 18 month roadmap that we still have to follow and finish up, and customers that have to be fulfilled. So that's why you're seeing, you know, a pink Razer M just came out today. You know, there are things they still have to do, you know, that Motorola has to do. Don't say Google has to do that Motorola has to do. Before we see some sort of Google phone, I asked on Google Plus today what everybody wanted to talk about. A lot of people want to hear about the X phone. I have no idea what it is, guys. I mean, nothing has changed there. I'm sure there's something in the pipeline being worked in some shape or form.
I'll say what I think I maybe said last week, which is I'm sure this is more of a Motorola thing than a Google thing. I don't think this will be announced at I/O. I don't think it'll overlap with Nexus at all. I'm sure this will be all about Google running Motorola as a model OEM, and all about Google through Motorola wanting to put out a really good Motorola phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Make one that the carriers will want to buy for people that need to stay on a carrier and want a Nexus-style device.
Well, and let's be honest, with Motorola, that carrier is going to be Verizon. It's going to be a...
Mostly.
Yeah, and you say make one that the carriers want to buy. It's more than just that. It's more than just making a phone and putting it out there, saying, will you buy this, please? That's not quite how it works. I mean, I think it's more marketing than it is production. You know, I think HTC can, you know, or any manufacturer, you know, steers the carrier in the way they want to go, especially, again, having seen and talked a little bit about the process. It's, you know, the carrier, you know, has in its mind what it wants to do, and the manufacturer has to push them one way or another. But obviously, when you have something like the Optimus G, that's LG saying, look, we have this really badass phone. What do you guys want to do with it, right? But it's like that for everybody. So it's not just, you know, HTC making a phone and hoping that Verizon wants it, right? I mean, it's very hand in hand.
I meant that the other way is the Nexus phones are just phones the carriers don't want.
Okay.
They don't want that.
They don't make them any money.
A different style of device.
We'll talk to
US carriers
that.
Don't want it because it's HSPA, and, you know, everyone's pushing towards LTE with the exception of T-Mo. The European carriers love the Nexus 4. O2 and 3 have it over here. The independent retailers have it over here. So it's, you know, it's different. When you take into account different kinds of markets.
Well, and you say T-Mo is not pushing the LTE. They absolutely are. You know,
well, they are, but I mean, they're pushing the Nexus 4 at the same time. The reason that you're not seeing it on AT&T yet. It's not AT&T LTE yet.
Right. Anything else on that? Not really. Some really good apps I want to talk about this week. You want to start today, and kind of a non-Android thing, actually, but Vine is out. If you guys have heard of that, I know people are getting tired of calling it, you know, Instagram for video, but that's what it is. I mean, just without filters. That's what it is. Where's my iPod? Here somewhere. So it's, you know, it's almost like animated GIFs, and I thought it was at first. And, what is that? Oh, that's Eric Zeman playing guitar. Eric for Fun Scoop. And, so, I mean, it takes, you know, it's the touch of a button to record. You tap it starts recording, tap it again to do a new scene. You know, as soon as you let go, it stops recording. So you have up to 6 seconds. It's kind of cool. So the reason I cared about it and actually did a post was because you're going to be seeing these things all in your Twitter feeds, right? The catch right now is there's no easy way to play it back on Android without using the stock Twitter app. If there's anything else out, let me know. But that's all I got it to work with today. So if it doesn't, yeah, you know, somebody was asking in Chrome asking me on Twitter a minute ago, like, can I not view these in Chrome? I said, no, it doesn't work. I don't know why.
So it's not actually a video file. It's some proprietary animated.
No, Renee and I were looking at this earlier. Renee, do you know anything more about it? Because it looked like it was just something in an MP4 wrapper.
Yeah, so. It looks like HTML video, MP4.
Oh, then I wonder why Chrome won't play it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, part of the problem was Twitter keeps forcing you to its mobile site, and I couldn't find an easy way to do that. So, yeah, I need to try some more browsers. But if anyone, you know, figures out how to get it to work, let us know. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. You're limited in 6 seconds, but you know, we've said we're limited in 140 character tweets, so you know, there's probably a little more utility for this than I'm thinking so far. It's kind of fun, it's interesting. We'll see how it goes. Temple Run 2 is out. I don't know if we're going to do some big review on it. It's Temple Run, only a little more three-dimensional. It's cool, it's free. Go play it. I don't think you need a big review from us if you can get it yourself for free and you already know how to play it, so just go do it. What about Super Hexagon? Are you guys killing yourselves with that?
Nah, I gave up on that game.
Oh, it's so addicting. I get so many so many messages on Google Plus like, thanks for sharing it, bastard. I can't say it's so hard. I'm so mad. I think I'm at 18 seconds now. I can't get past that. It's just weird. Just try it.
I do. I have a little bit of desire, if I have a few days with nothing to do, to maybe tear the app apart and see if I can't change it so I can get the high score. Other than that, it's too hard and too luck of the draw, and I'm not good at either. So I gave up.
Here at Android Central, do not condone ripping apart apps and cheating for your own purposes. Ever. No, I mean, it's a cool game. It's weird because it's so difficult but addicting at the same time, right? What else have you guys been playing? Oh, you know what I've been playing besides that is, what is it called? Battle Friends at Sea. It's like Words with Friends for Battleship, kind of.
Oh.
And I swear Kelly Lewis is some sort of weird, like, admiral because nobody can hide ships like she can. She's killing me. Is it my turn yet? Cause this is nuts. Dun, 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 dun. It's a nice little three-dimensional game. It's got a lot of ads in it, kind of annoying like that. But, you know, I think the full version is like $5 or something, so I'm putting up with the ads. But that's fun. It's a nice time waster. You guys playing anything?
Not really.
God, you're boring.
Well, I have nothing. I bounce around. I've got a bunch of stuff I play. Super Monsters Ate My Condo. I mean, I've even spent in-app purchase money on that game, so I guess that would be a fun.
We got new zombie stuff in Playgank, haven't we?
Yeah, or it's coming. Yeah, it's not out yet. Mm. They're not quite sure when it's going to be here. Probably, I'll say, next month, but don't hold me to it. They're working on it, so that they're teasing it is a good sign, I think.
They should let us test it.
They should?
Yeah.
If you guys are out there. I tell you, it's a little ominous when you get a DM from Plague Inc. Like, what's your email? I'm not telling. Where do you live? Go away. No, it's a little scary. Should we do some emails and voicemails and we'll get out of here? We don't have 8 voicemails tonight. We only have 4.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Renee, you about ready back there?
At your command.
Woohoo! Well, in that case, let us start with Chris.
Hey, my name is Chris. I'm from Austin, Texas, and this is for the Android Central podcast. I wanted to ask you, when it comes to LTE, why do you suppose Google won't release another fake Nexus phone like the Verizon Galaxy Nexus? And they could call it something besides a Nexus so people don't get butthurt when carriers start lagging with the updates, as they always do. Let carriers put all the crap they want on it, but just convince them to keep the bootloader unlocked on this one phone. An enthusiast will still know that once they unlock the bootloader on this phone, you have what's basically a pure Nexus phone with an LTE radio. The Verizon Galaxy Nexus wasn't perfect. It had its issues, as all phones do. But as a Nexus phone, it worked great. I mean, once you unlocked the bootloader, the updates were available in a matter of days. One way or the other, I think we need more pure Android devices on the market. Someone who likes stock Android and wants updates as soon as they're released. I'm tired of only having one phone to choose from every year, especially when it's gimped at 16 gigs and has no LTE, no removable battery, etc. I don't mind paying $500 or $600 just for something that's fully loaded. Just give me more options. That's all. Thanks.
I think we will absolutely see LTE versions of the Nexus 4 at some point. I think they might even keep the Nexus name when they do it.
I think no comment somebody uses the words fake Nexus.
Well, yeah, that's, yeah.
Look, I the more I think about it, I go back to that post Jerry did last year that said, yes, the Verizon Nexus is a real Nexus. And I'm having a harder time swallowing that than I used to. That's not Jerry's fault. That's Verizon's fault.
Yeah, Sprint's up to date now, isn't it, with its Galaxy Nexus?
You talking to me, Jerry?
I mean...
Maybe it isn't.
You want technology inside the phone that Verizon controls? You'll wait for their portion of the equation to be finished.
Do you really think Verizon would never update it again just to shaft people?
No, I think that the radio in it still sucks. It's always sucked since day one on Verizon. And they don't want to release it to continue the suckage if they can fix it. That's what I honestly think. They're working on it.
Fair enough. I mean,
we got to give them a break. And nobody hates big corporations like Verizon more than I do. But Phil laughs because he knows how I get on a rail about them. But they can't release something that's worse than what's already out there. Period. I kind of wish that they would release the UI update and the, you know, the base framework Android 4.2 without touching the radio. But apparently they have a reason why they don't want to. If they would just share that reason, people would give them a whole lot more slack.
I really wish people, you know, companies could just be more open about that stuff. And you're like, you know what? We're working on it. We're sorry it's taking so long. I mean, Jesus, we're still waiting on the Thunderbolt was supposed to get IDS, right? In August, by the end of August.
That's a weird one because isn't that the one HTC said they didn't want to do because it would be a poor experience? Then Verizon
the Inspire or the Desire HD or a lot of phones that are basically the same as the Thunderbolt. Yeah. They're saying that the experience wasn't ideal. So yeah.
So that's why companies don't say something. It's for a reason and it sucks. You know, we're still waiting on AT&T to put out a Jelly Bean for the 1X, and everybody else has it. AT&T, you know, doesn't for whatever reason. But I mean, that's why you don't give ETAs. You know, that's why if you use CyanogenMod, you don't get ETAs for a reason,
right?
And I get that it sucks, but you know, it's why I don't give ETAs. We're doing something cool, unless I know it's going to have. It goes back to the old, you know, you don't put it in the newspaper till you're ready to publish it. You know, same sort of thing. It's tough, but that's the way it is. So, all right, let's move on to, how about CJ?
Hey, Android Central crew. This is CJ10570 from the forums. I'm calling in reference to last week's podcast. You had a gentleman that wanted to know how to tone down some of the updates that he was receiving on Google Plus for the What's Hot section. if you click on, along the top when you're on the Google Plus homepage, if you click on any one of your circles, you'll notice that just off to the right of it, you will see a slider. And you can simply click on that slider to filter how much you want to see from each one of those groups. I know you guys figured out on the podcast how he could get rid of the what's hot thing, but just in case anyone wants to know how to do it for the rest of G+. Anyway, keep up the good work.
I'm looking at what's hot on Google Plus right now, actually. NASA, Star Wars, Star Trek.
Oh, that's a good day.
Bunch of weird feeling stuff. It's a hot tub in the bedroom. That's kind of awesome. I could go for that. All right, oh, good advice. Thank you, CJ.
I could use a hot tub right here in this office.
There's Hello Kitty. Oh, wow. There's a cool picture of a fountain in Bryant Park in New York freezing over. If you've ever seen that, it's a pretty big fountain. That's cool. Huh. All right. Let's go now with Doug.
Hi, this message is for the Android Central podcast. My name is Doug, and I had a question regarding Miracast in the car audio realm. I know there are a couple units that do mirror link that enable you to basically output whatever's on your phone onto the screen and be able to control it. I was wondering if, while you guys were at CES, if you had noticed anything like that for Miracast. Definitely looking forward to controlling apps and stuff like that from a head unit interface instead of having to look down at my phone. Yeah, if you guys had any information on that, that'd be great. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
Not Miracast, but this is something that the big manufacturers have been looking into a lot over the past couple years, actually. If you remember, when was it, Jerry? Was that 2011? God, it was. The summer of 2011 when I went up to Detroit.
Yes.
The museum facilities there. That's exactly what they were showing off in their, I'm totally forgetting the name of it. Not Chevy Link. MyLink. Yeah, MyLink is what it was called. Ford has its own version as well. Honda is doing its own version as well. And the way it works is your phone connects to the car via Bluetooth. And then, so the apps we saw were like Pandora. So there's actually kind of a Pandora controller in the car's infotainment unit, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then it uses the data from your phone and the app from your phone, but controls it through the car. So, you know, the controls in your wheel all work, the controls in the head unit all work, but it's actually using the phone for the heavy lifting of it, right? And for the data. It was really cool. And they're coming out, I mean, they have APIs all over the place for this stuff. So it's just a matter of app developers getting on board with this stuff. So GM was at CES, and they had just updated it and announced more apps as well. So it's a matter of getting it done. But that, what you're talking about, Doug, is exactly what they're doing. You know, it's not straight, you know, streaming. You're not mirroring your phone to your car or anything like that, though, like on something like a Tesla, that would be kind of awesome. But they're working hand in hand, and it worked really well, at least in the demos I saw.
Well, if you remember, I tried to see if you all could find anything Kenwood had. I know a guy who worked at the, I forget if it was Showstoppers, or he worked one of the venues that was, you know, displaying stuff, and he had to set up some things for Kenwood, who was showing some sort of double DIN unit that had an Android touchscreen that worked in synchronization with your phone, but nobody could get in and see it. They were showing it privately.
Right.
So what exactly they were doing, I don't know, but yeah, there's, besides the car makers that are working on it, I'm sure people, Pioneer, Kenwood, Alpine, they're all looking into new ways to interface your smartphone to the stereo as well. I mean, let's face it, an aux cable to your iPod just doesn't do it anymore.
I'd kind of take that right now, actually. I've been thinking a lot about that, even though I'm not in the car much. It's like, I'm tired of FM transmitters. They don't do it anymore.
No, definitely.
All right, finally, we have one last email from, if you remember last week, Jerry and I kind of got our backs up a little bit because we thought somebody's making fun of us. So he's back. And actually, I posted this earlier this week on Google+. So, Andrew, welcome back.
Hello, this is Andrew, a.k.a. Fat Produce, from the site, calling again. I just listened to my voicemail on your guys' show, and I realized I sound like a jerk. But no, when I said you guys make me look good, it meant that I listen to you guys every week, and the knowledge I gain from you guys helps me immensely in my job. So I want to thank you guys again, and sorry about the foolishness of it sounding like that. Anyway, have a good day, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Andrew. We were half kidding last week.
Yeah, it's always okay to be an to us. We like it. Be honest. I mean, you can, but yeah.
Fair enough. No, thanks, Andrew. We're cool. It's good. All right, let's do a couple of emails and we'll get out of here. Mike writes, I've got a Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1, the original. If one of my kids installs TuneIn Radio or Crackle, it will do something very odd. If it goes to sleep when you hit the power button and then unlock the screen, you will then be prompted to choose which app you want to open it with, and you have the option of either TuneIn Radio or Crackle. If Crackle is installed, it will go directly to TuneIn Radio. And it's the strangest thing. I've looked at the settings, and I can't find anything to make it do that. I also have the Samsung Multimedia Dock, which we use for charging, and it seems that when you put it in or out of the dock, it'll also do it. Any ideas other than not installing TuneIn Radio and or Crackle? I have my idea. Jerry, what's yours?
My idea is go in the settings and shut off the dock mode.
Ooh, I have a different
idea. I do believe that the tab has the version of TouchWiz that has that in the settings. The behavior you're seeing is that's bugged. It shouldn't do that just when you install it or shut the screen off, but it should do it when you stick it in the dock. That's the expected behavior. So I would try shutting off the dock mode completely and see what it does.
My thing was going to be to look in that, not the app settings themselves, but go into the settings menu and then look at the default apps thing.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I would. That should do it as well. Another way is install Tasker and tell it when you power the screen off to do nothing.
Right.
And that will fix it as well. But it's definitely a bug of some sort. That's not the expected behavior. And hopefully one of those three things will help you.
All right, who's next?
I got it. Elias writes, I have been noticing that in most publicity photos and demos I've seen online, that the clamshell display on Project Shield, which I hope is just a code name, is on a 90-degree angle along its pivot point. I would imagine this would be a bit uncomfortable for a viewing angle, and it would probably strain your wrists when holding it up. Also, this angle would make it a bit difficult to use the touch capabilities of the display. So my question is, does the display pivot back some more? God, I hope so, Phil, you touched it.
Yeah.
It does. I don't remember how much. And again, this was pre-production hardware, so I didn't want to mess with that too much, just because it could change. And one thing specifically I wanted to see was how far you could close it before the screen turned off. And then the screen turned off, and now hell broke loose. So, yeah, no, it goes more than 90 degrees. It really was not comfortable for me.
And if there are any issues like that, that's exactly the kind of thing that's going to come up in testing between now and whenever this thing eventually gets released.
Exactly. As far as wrist strain, it's tough to tell in a 20-30 minute demo. I think whenever you're holding anything like that for a while, it's going to get to you at some point, right?
I can see his point. If you can't tilt the screen back far enough to use it, you have to hold it up to your face. Mm. And that's not going to be a good experience.
Yeah, no, it's definitely more than 90 degrees. Don't worry about that.
Good.
All right, Alex, you got the last one.
Colin writes, is there one recommended carrier that I could use in all over all these countries, or do I have to get SIM cards and plans in each country? I'll need more than one. I'll need data more than phone minutes, so that's a factor too. When I travel to the US, I have T-Mobile SIM that gives me 250 megs of data along with calls, and that's $3 a day. I'll be looking at something similar to that.
I can't think of... Alex, you probably travel different countries more than anybody else here.
Doing on a single SIM is going to be difficult. If you're using a European SIM, you get screwed when you go outside of the EU because the way the roaming rules work, the rules that make EU carriers charge reasonable roaming rates only apply within the EU. So the minute you go outside it, you're charged, I think, the equivalent of about $10 per megabyte. So it's always, always cheaper to get a prepaid local SIM if you can. When I was in Vegas, I was using a T-Mobile SIM on their 5 gig plan, which was, I think, $70.
Yeah, I know there is nothing that you can use that's a single solution for Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, and I've never tried anywhere else, you know, on one SIM card.
Especially not prepaid. You go prepaid, right. You're limited to the country that SIM comes from.
It's. I mean, I tell you, international plans really aren't that horrendous now. You know, I usually try to get at least one sort of prepaid SIM overseas, but I mean, even paying AT&T for, you know, a few hundred megabytes while you're gone for weeks, really not that expensive as it used to. And it used to be really bad. You know, it used to be, you know, $400, and now it's, you know, a couple hundred bucks, which isn't cheap. I get that. But for the ease of stepping off the plane and your stuff just works,
yeah,
you know, I'm willing to pay a little bit of money. So.
Yeah, that's what you have roaming within the EU. So if you got a UK SIM and you're on a contract, basically it just works. And most of the UK carriers have something set up where you either have a very sort of generous per meg rate for data and per minute rate, or you just pay a fixed amount per day, and that just lets you use your UK allowance over there.
Right.
But yeah, you still for the US, it's tricky, and trying to get a SIM that's going to work across multiple countries, that's a bit of a tricky one.
All right, and that's going to do it. I believe we have stuck the fork in the podcast. We are done. And if you want to be like Mike and Elias and Colin, you can send us an email, podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Twitter, you know, GB Hill for Jerry. I'm Phil Nickinson. Alex is Alex Doby. But Google Plus is where it really goes down, I believe. I think. Do you guys agree?
For sure. For sure.
So
you can take longer than 3-minute videos.
Yes. Stop it. Jerry's giving me a hard time for playing with Vine. What's it called? I like it. It's fun. It's new. I'll be tired of it tomorrow. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158, or, you know, go to the website shopandroid.com, because it's actually a really good website. You guys don't know how many times I've yelled at the store guys and the people who code that up. I'm like, guys, that's awesome. I want it now. Like, if you've ever used their little device selector, it's like, I need that. Give it to me. By the way, if you haven't seen, and again, we teased it at the front of the podcast for you guys watching on video, we have Lloyd Flex cases. They are TPU cases. They're very good. I've got some here, and we're going to give away a couple in a minute, so it pays to hang out for the entire show. So look for those. I believe they have some Nexus 4 ones coming. We've got
dibs.
We've got some Galaxy S3 and Galaxy Note 2s up for pre-order right now. They should be shipping next week, I believe. So keep an eye out for that. You can pre-order them now, and they're 25% off, which is awesome. So look for those. And if you want to leave us a voicemail like Chris and CJ and Andrew did, call it 888-468-6158, extension 222. If you want to be really awesome like Doug did, record it on your computer so you see how much better that sounded. And then email it in to podcast@androidcentral.com. So that is it. We will be back next week, but I believe next week will be audio only. So just an early heads up so you can start yelling at me now instead of later. But that also means I don't have to wear pants. So it makes things, you know, it's a win-win, really, when you think about it. So that's it, I believe. Jerry, Alex, any final words?
Tip your waitress.
You see, put us on the spot like that.
All right, well, that's it. We're out. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody. Yeah.